The statute that sets up the court provides not only for a judicial process of guilt or innocence, but says something about reconciliation. And I am interested in your view of what that may mean and how it may affect what the prosecutor does.
Well, you know, it's a difficult concept, and I would say that all judicial system or all judicial criminal system has an element of reconciliation, in the sense that it would be difficult for any society to live peacefully if there wasn't a judicial system that settled disagreement between parties, because that's basically what it's about. Of course, in the statute is it's explicit. I'm not so sure if it, as trial lawyers, whether it affects us in if we act differently than you would do in any other acting in any other jurisdiction. You know, you have the question is always, you know, are we bringing any reconciliation? Is what we do on a day-to-day basis change things on the ground, because of the nature of the conflict? Can any judicial measure overcome it or assist the reconciliation? I'm not so sure.
Well, and a very legitimate statement. What I was getting at as well was, does it or has it affected the evidence you might want to present, or or your conduct as a prosecutor, this concept of reconciliation, which is in the statute? And if it's no, it's no, and if it's yes, I'm interested in whether it might have.
I can't think of an example.
Okay. Let me suggest something and see if you...
Yeah.
One of the people we interviewed said that perhaps, or he or she thought that it broadened the scope of evidence that was allowed. I'm going to need more.
We have to get a little break then.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Or I may need more. That, in other words, that certain evidence might be allowed in, not that it necessarily goes to guilt or innocence, but it may be somewhat relevant to the concept or to reconciliation. Has that been an experience of yours?
Maybe if he or she meant in the sense that you're building on a historic record, or that the judges may feel more generous in terms of admissibility because the evidence needs to reflect not just case against these accused, but I don't really think that, I'm not so sure I believe that's a good practice. I mean, there's other ways I think you can do that. I'm not convinced that the courtroom is the area for that.
Okay. And my question, and that you've given us a thing on that, but do you have any experience that may have actually occurred? In other words, that the evidence has been allowed in, and I don't mean to press
No.
Unduly.
Not at all. I haven't really thought of it that way. I would say that at times evidence goes in that I can't see how it would assist the judges in determining the case. I would have thought that the reason for that is more like it's easy to let it in and disregard it in the end of the day than having a big fight about it. I'm not so sure they were motivated by reconciliation. I certainly, as a prosecutor, wouldn't seek to have other evidence admitted just because I want to show because I think it goes to reconciliation. But maybe I'm narrow-minded that way. I don't know either.
Are there certain kinds of evidence that you find, your experience tells you, are more compelling to the convincing of the court than others?
I've seen so much more deliberation in my home jurisdiction than I obviously have here. So maybe I'm off in terms of what the judges here feel are compelling, since we even don't have a judgment on my first trial.
Right, right.
But I would say that any direct evidence from victims is compelling.
Okay. What kind of evidence do you find to be, or do you think are, is least effective?
Triple hearsay?
Okay. Even though hearsay itself is allowed.
Yeah, but I don't think it's very good to spend much time with it.
Now, you've talked about expert witnesses.
Yeah.
What are expert witnesses used for in these cases?
Well, when for many years the prosecutor sought to have judicial notice of the existence of the genocide. It was repeatedly denied by the chambers. And many times, expert evidence, before we actually got a decision from chambers, the appeal chamber, saying, yes, you can take judicial notice of the existence of the genocide against the Tutsi population in 1994. Before that, much of the expert evidence that was led concerned the fact that it was a genocide. For instance, when we started our trial in Military One, for a couple of years, we couldn't even use the genocide in court. There were genocide in court without the defense jumping up and screaming, oh, there has been no proof that there's been a genocide and blah, blah, blah. So I think probably expert evidence is used less now once that decision has been taken by the appeal chamber, because then you can focus on the acts and conduct of your accused. You don't have to lead so much evidence to show that people were being killed all over Rwanda as from 7th April onwards.
And I would think that would make the case move a little more quickly.
I would think so too.
Yeah.